And good morning. Let me add my welcome to you to International Church of Bishkek this morning. We're particularly glad to see you if you're here for the first time. And we are in the final study today of a series that we've called Habits of Prayer. And we've intentionally called this idea, the idea is that we're learning together about habits of prayer. We're seeking to learn from each other. And in particular, today, we have a special group of people that I've invited to come and just interact with us as a panel discussion this morning. And so it is my desire this morning as we come to this final study in this what has been for me a remarkable study on habits of prayer, that together we will learn from each other. We've been rooting this study in a couple of statements. The first one is the statement which we've talked about over the last year or so as we've tried to wrestle with what is the purpose of International Church of Bishkek, who are we really, and what we're saying to each other is this is what we're trying to do together here at the International Church of Bishkek. We are seeking to learn together what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus in this world. That's what we're really seeking to do together. And it seems to me that there's perhaps no more basic question, no more basic idea that we can put into our lives, into the rhythm of our lives, than good habits of prayer that will lead us towards this goal, this objective of being wholehearted followers of Jesus. We've also been looking at Matthew chapter 6 as our anchor text. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And what we've been really paying attention to there is the remarkable nature of this invitation. And Jesus, as he comes in this section of Matthew, it's in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle. And as he comes and he talks about prayer, he gives us this invitation. And we've been noticing that it's a remarkable invitation, but I want us to pay attention to that fact again. This is Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying to us. When you pray, go into a room and close the door so that it's just you and your Father who is in heaven. Think about this invitation in the light of the Old Testament. How did the Old Testament people in general approach God? How did they come to worship? They came into the tabernacle, into the temple. Right? And who was there? There was a priest who was acting like a mediator between God and the people. Right? But the whole wonder of the New Testament story is that Jesus has come to be our mediator, the mediator for every one of us. And so when Jesus invites us to pray, he doesn't say, when you pray, go to your pastor and have him pray for you. Right? He doesn't say that. Thank the Lord for that. He doesn't say go to the priest and have him intercede for you. This, my friends, is an invitation to all of us who are followers of Jesus. When you pray, go into a room by yourself. And know when you're in that room by yourself, know that you are there, and you are there in the presence of the living God of the universe. Amazing. And so, it's a place of no pretending. You don't try to pretend to be more holy than you are. Don't try to pretend to be somebody that you aren't. There's no special words that you have to say in order to impress God. In fact, Jesus says, don't keep on babbling like the pagans do because they think they can impress God somehow. Jesus says, no. This is just you and him. This is really you. So learn how to be who you are in the presence of the living God. Don't let prayer become a show. So don't stand in the church and pray out loud. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. But what it means is that don't let prayer be defined by the fancy words that we can put together in public. That's not prayer. What Jesus is saying is that the heart of prayer is this authentic intimacy with the God of the universe. So we are reminded of the value and the remarkable nature of this invitation. Of course, Jesus says to us, when you pray, this is how you should pray. And then he gives us these words in this model prayer. And we've been looking at the various parts of this model prayer as a guide to how should we conduct this conversation with the living God of the universe. And so let's read these words together. Again, we often read these words together. Remind you, they're not given to us as a mindless formula, but they are given to us as a beautiful model. A model of the kind of conversation we can have with this living God. So let's say these words together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's add the words that we often add at the end of this prayer. These are words that are included in some of the older translations of Matthew. These words are like this. For yours are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a comment about these words. Most people who study the textual manuscripts from history assume that these words were probably not included in Matthew's original version as he recorded Jesus' words. They were a later addition by some well-meaning scribes who said, well, we should finish this off somehow. They're good words. They're very consistent with Scripture. There's nothing wrong with saying them, but we just remind ourselves that probably they were not a part of the original prayer as Jesus taught his disciples. So, over these last few weeks, let's step quickly through what we've observed. In our first study, we looked at the first two words, our Father. And we reminded ourselves that Jesus, as he's teaching us to address God, he uses these words, our Father. And in these words, we have faith to believe who we are. The combination of these words, our Father, is a very powerful combination of words that states who we are. We are his children. We can go to many places in Scripture to discover that we are his children. So we discover who we are, and we discover whose we are. So who we are and who we belong to is the emphasis that we discovered in these words, our Father. In study number two, we looked at the next few words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so what we realize in these words, our Father, there's this great sense of intimacy. We are God's children. He is our loving Father. There's this intimacy. But in these next words, we're reminded of the transcendency of God, that God is bigger than we can imagine. He is more powerful than we can imagine. He is all-powerful. He is infinite in every way that we can imagine. And so don't ever forget that in this context of intimacy, the person with whom we have relationship with is the great God of the universe. And so Jesus invites us to declare the holiness of God. Holy is your name. And holy, we talked about that word meaning set apart. It's set apart. It's above and beyond. There's no equal to the name of God. And so don't ever forget. Don't ever take this invitation lightly. As you come into this place of intimacy and say, our Father, remember that this is the mighty God of the universe. Last week we were looking at this next two phrases, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seems to me if that first phrase was a call to faith to believe who we are, and the second phrase was a call to praise who God is, this third set of phrases is a declaration of the hope that we have in the kingdom of God. We looked at the words where Jesus announces earlier in Matthew, he says, because I've come into the world, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. The kingdom of heaven is that place where God really is in charge, right? Where God really lives and where we really obey, where people really live according to his values, according to life, according to how God designed it to be lived. This is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, as I have come into the world, I've come to bring that kingdom to earth. And so Jesus invites us to pray, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, like right here, as it is in heaven. And we've looked at two ways to think about that. We look at that as a future. This gives us hope for the future as we live in this broken world of suicide bombs and all kinds of terrorism and acts of violence and senseless loss of life. As we live in this broken world, we say, your kingdom come. May it be that one day, Jesus, you will come back to this earth and your kingdom will be here in its fullness, its completeness. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more dying. That's what we pray when we say, your kingdom come. But we also pray that as we pray, your kingdom come, let it come in my life right now. Even in this broken world, let it be that I will be your kingdom person in this world. Let it be that I will live according to the values of your kingdom, not according to the values of the kingdom of this world. So it's like a prayer of submission. So here we are looking at the final three requests in this prayer. Give us today our daily bread, Jesus says. This is how you should talk to your Father. And forgive us our debts, as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These are incredibly beautiful, powerful words. We don't have time to really observe in any detail the significance of these words. Let me recommend to you, take some time to look at them, study them, read about them. But let me make several observations about these words. The first observation I want to make about these three requests is that these requests are about us. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. They're about us. But we need to notice the place in which they come in this prayer. Jesus invites us to bring our requests to God. But in his model prayer, where does he put these requests? After we've addressed God as our Father. After we've reminded ourselves of this relationship of intimacy. After we've reminded ourselves of his majesty and glory. After we've expressed this hope for his kingdom to come. Then he says, okay, give us today our daily bread. I don't believe that Jesus is giving us a formula that we have to follow slavishly. So if there's a real desperate need on my heart, at first I have to take 25 minutes to say, worship him first before I bring this. God is very open. He is our Father. He is your Father. He loves to hear the cry of your heart, no matter how desperate it is. But I think what Jesus is trying to say by putting these requests about ourselves after all of these other things, he's saying to us, don't ever forget into whose presence you're coming. Don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever forget to put your struggles in the bigger picture of what God is doing in this world. So we find these requests coming at the end of this prayer. It's another observation I want to pass along from someone else about these three phrases, and is that these three requests, as we look at them, are connected by the word and. Someone has observed this. The first three petitions that we read, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, those three petitions stand independently from one another. These last three, however, are linked, even in the original language, by the word and. What's the significance of that? This person suggests this, almost as if to say, here's the significance of it, that food is not enough. We also need forgiveness of sin and deliverance from temptation in this world. Another observation I would like to make as we look at these words, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is anticipating the struggles of life that you and I go through. Jesus is anticipating this. John 15 records Jesus saying to his friends as he's sitting with them close to his time of dying, he says to them, in this world you will have trouble. Was he making a true statement there? In this world you will have trouble, Jesus says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. That's how he's encouraging his friends. So he's, in giving us these requests, Jesus is anticipating that we will have struggles in this world. And we can see what kinds of struggles Jesus anticipates. So in the first one, Jesus anticipates that sometimes we will struggle to provide for our daily needs. We need money to live. We need food to eat. There's some basic necessities of life. And some of us in this room, that's a struggle. For many people in this world, it's a struggle. Jesus invites us to say, our Father, give us today our daily bread. Many people observe this isn't really just about bread. It's about daily needs. I would also like to observe that Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. There's a strong emphasis on the present. Jesus is inviting us to live in the present. To live fully in the present. To live humbly in the present and turn to God and say, God, for whatever I need for today, I open my hands. Would you please fill what I need for today? Later on in this same sermon, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus will say, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Give us today our daily bread. It's a beautiful request that we're invited to offer to our God. Not only will we sometimes struggle with our daily needs, but Jesus also anticipates that sometimes we'll struggle with relationships. Is that true? Yeah. Sometimes we do struggle with relationships, right? So Jesus says, pray that you will be forgiven, but also that you will be forgiving. Jesus comes back to this idea just a couple verses down, verses 14, 15 of this same chapter. And he makes some incredibly powerful words that I'm not sure I fully understand. But Jesus says these words. He says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive other people, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Very strong words from Jesus. But it's a call. It's a call to us to pay attention to the relationships. It's a call to us not to carry an unforgiving spirit with us. It's hard sometimes. Jesus is calling us. He's saying, as we come to our Father in heaven to say, forgive us our debts, what we owe, our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. But Jesus knows we won't just struggle with daily needs and relationships. Jesus also knows we'll struggle in this world with sin, with wrong thinking, with wrong allegiances. And so Jesus says to us, this is how you should pray. He said, you should pray and say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The role of the evil one in this world, and has been from Genesis chapter 3, is to come alongside of us and say, did God really say you shouldn't do that? Did God really say you should live like this? The devil wants to distract us and make us think that living without God is a better way of living. That's his goal in this world. Jesus says, we should pray, lead us not into this temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And so in our struggle in this world, whether it's a struggle with selfishness, with pride, with lust, with greed, with whatever it is that plagues us, we are invited to come to this place of intimacy with the Creator of the universe and say, God, my Father, our Father, lead us not into temptation. Don't let me be trapped by the wrong thinking of the world that is around me. Let me be living your kingdom life. Your will be done in my life. And so we pay attention to the beauty and the power of this whole model prayer that Jesus gives us. It's my very strong desire, as we have spent some time simply observing the words and seeking to understand how to live them out, how to use them in our lives, that each of us would be challenged, each of us would be encouraged to develop more and more healthy habits of conversation with the living God. It's a beautiful, beautiful invitation that we have from Jesus. Let's not just ignore it, but let's embrace it and learn what it means to put habits of prayer into our lives that can reflect these kinds of conversations with the living God. So, I would like to now invite three friends to come who agreed to join me up here.